if they had a greater attention to detail, if they had a higher focus on safety, if they maintained a clean and organized job site, you know, are those qualities that you would predict would produce a more successful project, meaning a safer project, a higher quality project, on cost, on schedule? The answer would universally be yes.
Welcome to Ambition Theory, Women in Construction. This show asks questions that everybody is thinking about but doesn't want to say out loud. It's about tackling complex topics like, why are there so few women in senior leadership positions? What is it going to take to change this? Each episode is a combination of motivation and tactical strategies to get ahead. We get out of our comfort zones and we take action. We learn, grow, and create opportunities. I am your host, Andrea Jansen, a certified executive coach with an MBA, and since 2018, I've coached over 1,000 construction professionals to level up their leadership. Let's get started. There's a labor shortage in the construction industry today, which has started a trend of companies wanting to attract more women. Well, the motivation may have started with getting more people in the door, the truth is that women bring a ton of value to the industry. Today, though, much of this value is untapped and it isn't actually being leveraged. Dr. Tim Taylor from the National Center for Construction Education and Research talks about the findings of their research report called, in her own words, Improving Project Outcomes. We talk about the value that women bring to job sites, how women influence the culture, and the return on investment of having women on your project team. I love this interview so much, and I'm excited to share it with you today. Do you know what the number one question we get when speaking to companies about our Leadership Accelerator program for women in construction? We already have an internal leadership program or a mentorship program available, which is great, but the thing is, these programs don't work the same way for women as they do for men. There are many reasons why, but the most striking one that if you're a woman listening right now, you'll probably recognize right away. It's the double bind. We did some research last year and found that 78% of women were told that if they wanted to accelerate their path to leadership, they needed to be more confident. But 70% of those same women were also told that they were being too bossy. Basically, as soon as a woman embodies the traits most typically associated with leadership in the construction industry, they're faced with negative feedback. This is the double bind. And this is why specialized training for women is needed. If you want to learn more about how our Leadership Accelerator program can help you address the double bind and many other obstacles women face on the path to leadership, please visit ambitiontheory.com/LAP. Welcome to Ambition Theory, Women in Construction, Dr. Tim Taylor. I am so excited that you are back today to dive into research, what it means, what we can do about it. Can you start off by introducing yourself and sharing what you do?
Yes. So glad to be here today. I'm Tim Taylor. I am the Director of Research for the National Center for Construction Education and Research, also known as NCCER. Our core business is really developing turnkey solutions to provide schools, community colleges, contractors, third-party training organizations with the curriculum, the certifications to equip the next generation, equip and prepare the next generation of construction craft professionals. So really, we're an educational nonprofit and we help get folks ready to go work as construction craft professionals. That's the overall company mission. What my mission is to perform research that looks at trying to identify ways for us to more effectively train individuals to enter the construction industry, and also to help us come up with ways to help to make our craft workers more productive so that our project outcomes are improved.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So I've gotten to know you over the past year as we've been doing some work together. But I know you, when you started at the National Construction Education and Research, the reason you got into studying women in construction was because that was already on the agenda. And that was kind of the first project that you were given. But I have seen this passion, I have seen this expertise kind of blossom over the past year. Can you talk about what has kept you interested in this topic?
Sure. So for about the past 10 years, I have been, you know, studying the workforce shortage with construction craft professionals in the U.S. And it's a topic that I'm really passionate about because the shortage impacts, you know, not only construction companies and owners that procure construction companies, it really impacts the entire national economy. If we cannot effectively deliver construction projects, then it just diminishes. It diminishes society, basically. At the same time, a high-wage construction craft professional position can transform an individual's life. You know, you can overcome generational poverty. It can provide a lot of opportunity for that individual to support families. And it does so in a way that doesn't require a great deal of debt. You're able to work and earn money while you're getting trained. So it's a topic itself that I'm very passionate about because it, you know, we can impact the big macro level picture within the economy and also change lives of individuals. And so when I joined NCCER, the reason that we selected women in construction as our first major research topic that we were getting interested in is that was really born out of the vision of our CEO, Boyd Worsham. Boyd is very passionate about the opportunities provided in the construction industry. And when we look and see that women make up less than 4% of the overall construction craft workforce, women are missing out on those opportunities. And so that's something that he was passionate about, has been passionate about for his career. And he said, you know, this is a problem that the construction industry has talked about for many years, but we haven't effectively solved. Let's go in and actually help just research and identify ways that we can overcome this problem. At the same time, a little bit of background on NCCER, we have around 130 full-time employees. 60% of those are women. If you look at our executive leadership team, it is 50% women. So this is something that we as an organization, we practice what we preach in this regard, because we've seen that the opportunities, you know, both the benefits that women in these positions bring, but then also the opportunities that it provides to women. So that is why I am passionate about this topic, because it aligns with a lot of my core beliefs and values. And it's a way to, you know, operationalize it, if you will, to help improve both the big and the individual picture.
I love it. And this is what I so appreciate about working with you and NCCER is that you have that scientific background, that rigorous research approach. So it's not like, I think, it's like, no, actually, this is backed up by proper data, so we can be confident that this, if we make decisions based on this data, it's going to make sense. It's not just a gut feel. And the reason that we invited you back to do another episode was on March 31st, 2023, there was an article in Forbes magazine, and the title was "New Research: Women More Effective Than Men in All Leadership Measures." And this article got shared a lot on LinkedIn. And on our team, we were really curious. We were like, okay, this is really fascinating research. We should talk about what this means from a construction perspective. And that's why we invited you back to come on this interview, because NCCER, before we even met, you had already completed a study looking at what women bring to the table and how it affects project outcomes. But I want to go back to this article. And the research quoted in the article is from a study published by the Leadership Circle, which is a global leadership development company. They work all over the world, a whole bunch of different industries. They have a lot of leaders that they're able to draw from when they created this study. And what they did was they looked at 360-degree feedback assessments from over 84,000 leaders and 1.5 million raters. So a 360-degree assessment is where people that work around you, so like your boss, your boss's boss, your peers, your direct reports, your suppliers, your other people that you work with, they all give you feedback on your leadership skills. So this is the data source that they used. And what they found was that women leaders show up more effectively than their male counterparts across every management level and age level. And I thought this was really interesting. So what women scored the highest on, the characteristics that women are bringing to the table from a leadership perspective, were relating, self-awareness, authenticity, systems awareness, and achieving. And what they said in the study was that the study found that women are more creative leaders. And at Ambition Theory, we call this transformational leadership. So where you're inspiring others, you're seeing their strengths, you're helping them to contribute to the vision of the company. Men, on the other hand, they scored higher on these characteristics. So these were complying, protecting, and controlling. And what the study found was that men are more reactive leaders. And at Ambition Theory, we call this the transactional leadership approach. In the study, they also mentioned that this reactionary approach to leadership leverages the what got you here. So kind of like all the things that you've done to get you in your career, to get you to that place, all the knowledge that you have, you're actually leveraging that to lead. So you're telling people what to do, you're complying, and you're protecting. And Cindy Adams, the author of the study, said, in a nutshell, women leaders demonstrate higher levels of leadership effectiveness and higher levels of creative competency in all dimensions, and they demonstrate lower reactive impact compared to their male counterparts. And we were so curious about what this looks like in construction and specifically on site with craft professionals and how that actually directly relates to the outcomes of the project. So that is what we're going to be talking about on this episode today, and I cannot wait to dive in further. So Tim, my first question is, we know there's been a lot of talk about attracting women into the trades. You said it yourself earlier. We're talking about it, but what are we actually doing about it? Can you talk first about the motivation for this? So why are we talking about it so much?
Sure. So the construction industry across the United States for the past 15 years has really been experiencing what the rest of the economy is sort of unfortunately caught up with us, you know, coming out of COVID, where you have this massive workforce shortage. I wish I could tell you that during the time before COVID that we worked on developing the solution, but that would not be true. So we're running into these craft shortages. And if we look at the projections right now with all the massive projects that are going on in the U.S., so reshoring manufacturing, specifically the microchip plants, those projects that are going on, looking at decarbonization of energy production, transmission and distribution, we're looking at electric vehicles and battery manufacturing. You've got data centers being constructed. Those are all massive projects individually. And then you combine them together happening all at once, along with just sort of the general commercial construction boom that's going on in pretty much the entire U.S. right now. We are, over the next 10 years or so, somewhere between 2.5 to 3.5 million craft workers short of what we need to be able to execute these project plans. So the first sort of piece of that is looking at it from just a numbers game. You know, we need the people in place to help us execute these projects. So I think there's some parts of the industry that sort of look at that as, you know, it's a numbers game. We're trying to make the numbers work. And while that is true, it's an incomplete view, because what that doesn't bring in is, what are the unique qualities that women bring into the construction industry that, you know, we miss out on from a predominantly all-male workforce? So that was one of the things that we really wanted to drive our study. In addition to sort of understanding what were the experiences of women in this industry, what are the barriers to them getting in this industry, we also wanted to understand, you know, what are the benefits that they see that they bring into this industry?
Okay, I love it. And so at what point during the research, was it before or was it during, did you come to this realization that having women on these construction projects delivers a significant amount of value, like beyond just an extra body to fill a spot? When Sure. did you have that realization?
So the realization for me really happened as we progressed through our focus groups. So we held on-site focus groups in the U.S. and Canada. We ended up talking to 176 craftswomen in, you know, the groups themselves were between 6 and 8 participants at a time. We talked with them each for about an hour. And we talked with women in industrial construction and commercial construction. We talked with women that were new to the industry. You know, I've only been in for 6 months, to women that had been in for 20 years. We talked to women of all different ethnic backgrounds and racial backgrounds, different age ranges, both union and non-union, large contractors, small contractors. So we had a very wide range in terms of who we were talking to. And when we asked the question, you know, what unique skills and abilities do women bring to the job site? What really struck our research team was the consistency in answers that we got across all those groups. So the main sort of benefits that were identified was that women tend to be more team focused. So an example to kind of illustrate that, if I'm a guy and I'm an electrician, I might be focused on how many linear feet of electric cable I got installed today. Whereas a woman might be more focused on, well, how much did the construction crew get installed today? We also heard that women have a greater attention to detail. You know, guys tend to try to get things done faster, whereas women are more focused on getting the details right. We had a focus on maintaining a clean and organized job site, which is really critical, not only to safety, but also the productivity of the site and just sort of the general ability to get the work done. And then women also had a larger, more sustained focus on safety. So with the women, that was what they said they were really good at. And there was consistency across all those different demographic groups that I mentioned earlier. We also talked to some of the project leadership teams on the different projects that we visited and asked them the same question. You know, what unique skills, qualities, and abilities do women bring to the job site? And the answers of the management mirrored those of what the women themselves told us. So that's two sort of different data sources pointing to the same thing, which in the research world, we would say that might be a clue. So that's what we really saw as we sort of came out of that and saw that really, that detailed consistency in the answers.
Okay, so I want to go back to this article and what they talked about and what they found in this article and how it relates to the studies that the focus groups that you did. So you talked about the women they're better at making a plan. They have more attention to detail. So I would say that links with that systems awareness. Like, how do I fit into the big picture?
Yes, I think that does make sense. You know, there's sort of that attention to detail of making sure that we're doing everything correct, that, you know, we've installed the system correctly rather than we've installed it quickly. That plays into that as well. There's also the management noticed, you know, modern construction projects are not designed to be accomplished with human muscle power. They're designed to be accomplished with pneumatic power, hydraulic power, electrical power, mechanical power. We have machines to help us, you know, do all the heavy lifting and stuff. And the management teams noticed that the women were much more focused on doing the work with the equipment that was provided, whereas sometimes, as you know, the men may be physically able to maneuver some of these pieces with their own muscular power, whereas the women used the equipment that was available to them, which is not only safer, it's also more productive.
Okay, so that touches on that high level of self-awareness, this ability to be like, you know what, I could do this myself. I could try to struggle with this, or I'm aware that there's a better way to do this work, and I'm actually leveraging that system that is in place. So that touches on that self-awareness. What about relating? What came up in your focus groups on that kind of relational aspect?
Yeah. So what came out of that to me would be that team-focused approach. You know, the women, if you're on a construction crew, the women talked about, you know, being, you know, more attuned and more aware of what was going on each day across the team members. You know, does somebody seem a little bit down? Does somebody seem a little bit off out of their normal behavior? No, do I need to check on them? Which we care about from a personal standpoint because we care about people, but we also care about that from a crew productivity standpoint, because if I'm not really focused on the task at hand, then I'm not going to be as productive as I might otherwise be. So I would say that what we saw within that really lines up with what we might see to the article that you referenced.
Yeah. And then the second one, you just mentioned like checking in on people. And I think that touches on the article mentioned authenticity as a something that scores women really scored high on. So that authenticity, but like being vulnerable with people, knowing the people on your team, what is going on with them, kind of like beyond just what their name and their, you know, job is for that day. Yeah. How else did that authenticity show up?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, related to what you're talking about, again, we're stereotyping genders a little bit, but in this case, I think they're mostly true. If you have a group of guys together, they're absolutely not going to be vulnerable with each other. But if you have a woman there, guys might be willing to share with a woman, you know, something that they may not be able to share with with one of their male colleagues. So that sort of openness, fostering that communication, you know, working to ensure the dynamics of the team, is something that would really show up and it would line up with what that article was talking about.
And then the last trait was achieving. So I know the title of your white paper was, in her own words, improving project outcomes. So that achievement would really link to the outcome. So what did you find about specifically related to project outcomes?
Yeah. So if we looked at our findings and we took sort of the focus on women out of it, if I went to the CEO of a contract of a construction company, or if I went to a large organization that is procuring construction services, and I said, on your construction projects, would they be better executed if your construction crews were more focused on their team, if they had a greater attention to detail, if they had a higher focus on safety, if they maintained a clean and organized job site, you know, are those qualities that you would predict would produce a more successful project, meaning a safer project, a higher quality project, on cost, on schedule? The answer would universally be yes. If we were selling a technology that would achieve that, the owners would be willing to invest in that technology. In this case, we're selling being more inclusive within the construction industry to women. And so that's sort of where that would open up and line into producing more successful projects.
When I started Ambition Theory over 5 years ago, I knew that if we genuinely wanted to make the construction industry inclusive for women, that change needed to start at the top. But 5 years ago, nobody was ready to hear this message. Something has shifted recently, though, and it's really exciting. Organizations are reaching out because they want us to do a presentation for their leadership teams, and in some cases, the entire company. They see that up until now, the burden of change has rested entirely on the shoulders of women. If this message speaks to your association or company, we want to hear from you. Visit ambitiontheory.com/book-a-call to learn how you can book a presentation for your organization. Okay, that's cool. Thanks for sharing that. So this all sounds great, right? More successful projects, better team, using the systems properly. This all sounds amazing. I love that analogy you made with the software, right? Like if someone went in and tried to sell this software, I think they'd get a second meeting and then they'd be able to move across the sales process and likely get to a yes. But we're not seeing that many women entering, succeeding, rising to senior leadership in the industry. Can you talk about what your research told you specifically on site around what is preventing this from happening and companies in the industry really fully tapping into this resource?
Sure. So I'll try to not be too expansive, but you know, there's a number of issues in play here. You know, there's some of the traditional ones that we might associate with the construction industry in terms of job site culture, and it maybe not being something that women would view as being very open and welcoming to them. I wish I could tell you that that's all been solved. It hasn't been, but many companies have made some significant efforts to address those issues. So we're better. Are we where we want to be? No, but we're better than we have been in the past. And, you know, it's going to continue to improve. So, you know, I think the good news from that standpoint is that most construction companies that I'm aware of, they want women involved within the organization and within the process of construction. So that's a successful point. So then you start to say, okay, well, if they're motivated for it to happen, as you mentioned, buying the software technology, you know, why hasn't it happened yet? Well, you know, there's a few things that factor in there. The first one is, if you look at when we talked with the women within our focus groups, much of the people that work in the construction industry, whether they are women or men, they come to the construction industry because their family was involved in the construction industry. So my dad, my mother, my brother, my sister, my uncle worked in construction, and that's what pulled me into the construction industry. I've heard that over and over and over again. So that's good. We have a family environment that pulls people in. But at the same time, if you don't have family that works in the construction industry, you really have no idea what goes on a construction project. A construction site itself can be very intimidating if you're not familiar with it. So, you know, one of the questions that we asked the women in our focus groups was, what was your impression of the construction industry before you joined it? And for the ones that did not have a family background in construction, they didn't have any perception of the construction industry. You know, I don't want to say that they didn't know it exists, but they just knew nothing about it, you know, good or bad. And so it's not something that women are naturally exposed to. You know, in general, if you're growing up as a kid, I have a son and daughter. If something happens to our house that I have to fix, or something happens to our vehicle that I have to fix, we would tend to go grab our sons to go help dad, you know, fix that. And it would traditionally be dad that's fixing that. And so that forces our sons to be more exposed to that type of work, and women would be less exposed to it. So what that means is, if you overcome the barrier around women are not, you know, sort of familiar with the construction industry and you know, maybe don't know about it, if they start to get exposed to it and then get interested in it, they are less likely to have any training around sort of those skills. And so that then becomes another barrier that you need to overcome. What we found in our research was that when you made an effort to bring women in different positions. And so, for example, you know, many women shared that I was hired to be a custodian, or I was hired to work in the tool room, or I was hired to drive the shift change or the transportation bus on the site. And then while I was in those roles, I would see this amazing project that was being constructed and the type of work that was going on. And I would think, I wonder if I could do that. Well, the companies provided training to the women, and they would say, if you want to be an electrician, if you want to be a pipe fitter, we will provide these training classes to you at no charge. If you complete them, your salary will increase and you can move into these different trades. So if I'm a contractor and I want to go out and hire a woman electrician, that's really hard to do because there are only 4% of the electricians would be women. But if I said, go hire a woman who is willing to learn, who is hardworking, and who wants to develop a passion about this, and I'm willing to train them, now that's much more achievable. So I've been talking about getting women into the construction trades. Let's talk about women moving into site leadership positions. So the foreman position, the general foreman, the project superintendent, those are really challenging positions on any construction site, regardless of what your gender background is. They are really one of the big keys to successful projects. So let me talk a moment about how the construction industry traditionally moves people in those types of positions. You have a construction crew, a crew of electricians, and I happen to be the best electrician, and we have a foreman spot that opens. I'm now the foreman electrician because I'm the best electrician. It just because I'm really good at running conduit, at running wire, at hooking up breaker boxes and all that, that does not mean that I'm really good at leading people, organizing communication, leading project teams. And so that's an example within the construction industry. There are many fields where you get promoted into management positions based on your technical expertise. So what that means is that if you think about, I need to have if I don't have very many women who are electricians, and then I'm trying to move them into foreman positions, that gets a bit more challenging. And so the way that those get selected is one of the barriers that we need to overcome. As I told you earlier, if you have more of a team focus, if you're a better communicator, if you're more in tune with what's going around, that really sounds like a foreman type of position where we would want to have women in there. So There are, you know, a couple other challenges kind of around achieving that, you know, as you've talked about, you know, the difference between mentorship and sponsorship and what that means moving into these positions. But that's sort of in a nutshell. I know that was a little bit long-winded, but it is a complex issue. And the reason that it hasn't been sort of completely solved yet is because it requires a shift in mindset. And we're in the process of doing that now.
And that's really interesting that you said that, because that's exactly what they described in the Forbes article about this kind of reactionary process to leadership is really leaning into that what got you here, assuming it's going to get you there. But when you're the foreman, it's actually a different skill set. It's not, you're not actually doing the work anymore. You're like supporting others to do the work. And it sounds like the current system reinforces that technical expertise versus the inspiring and letting people kind of like step up to the challenge and be the expert versus like the leader being the expert. So that's a completely different shift in mindset that I think needs to happen. But it's interesting that it, like, based on this Forbes article, it's happening in every single industry. It's not limited to construction. So I want to talk about what we can do about this, right? Because there's this resource, even though it's small, right? Getting more women into, like, we know, how do you get women into leadership? You get more women into leadership. So even though we don't have a lot of women in the industry right now, what are things that companies can do to kind of like tap into the people that are already there?
Yeah. So the first thing I would tell companies that they could do, and this is what the women talked about themselves in the focus groups, was we were coming to projects to do focus groups to collect information. And what the women shared with us was just the fact that the company was willing to listen to what their ideas were and what their input was on this topic was really valuable. Like, they suggested, you know, companies should do focus groups with their current employees and see what, you know, what insight it is that they have. Because if you haven't been in the field is a different experience, whether you're a man or a woman. And so if we get a bunch of people in an office environment trying to come up with solutions to get this in place, it's probably not going to be as successful. So I think, you know, talking with women about that and showing, you know, getting their input on what their experiences are and what their suggestions are. Because we may be well-intended, but we may be blind to you know, what's going on. As an example of that, many of the women shared that the men on their crew would always, if there was something heavy that needed to be picked up, the men would come over, you know, try to pick that. Let me get that for you. That's heavy. I'll move that for you. Let me do that job. That job is difficult. You know, I don't want you to get hurt. And, you know, the women shared most of their male colleagues were earnestly doing that to be nice. Whereas they were like, that limits my ability to learn and that limits my ability to demonstrate what happened. So sort of having those open, honest conversations for people to understand that is important. You know, the other thing to think about is, how do we reach out and make women aware of construction? You know, the ones that are not available, you know, that don't have those backgrounds. So what are we doing in the local schools? Are you, if you're a company, are you involved in the career and technical education programs within your local school systems or your community colleges? Are you actively looking to attract and talk to women? We've always sort of had the mentality of, all right, well, we're here, we're the construction industry, we've got a help wanted sign out, and we're going to sit here and wait for people to show up. Let's go proactive. Where can we get in front of women and talk to them about the opportunities that are in this industry so that they are informed of the opportunities, and then they can make their own decision on whether it would be a good fit for them or not.
Hey, I love a bunch of times in this conversation, you mentioned, or you even told a story about a mindset shift, because a lot of these solutions, they're not like capital heavy. They're not like, you don't need to buy new software. It's really about that mindset. Like, instead of just putting up the health wanted sign, like, where else could I go to recruit? Instead of assuming, you know, the best electrician needs to be foreman, what other skills do I need to be looking for? So can you talk about how people can start to embrace that new kind of mindset?
Sure. You know, I think for me, it is, you know, again, having the conversations, you know, with women that are in the trades to, you know, get their experiences and see what things are like. You know, I think we, you know, as an industry, we have wanted to do good. And so we have, you know, tried to have different programs and what that, you know, to address some of those issues. The problem comes in that, you know, I don't think this will be news to your listeners, but men and women are different. We communicate differently. We maybe approach problems differently. So when we now bring, we have an industry that in this case is dominated by men. When we now start bringing more women into the industry, there may be misunderstandings, miscommunication, you know, and, you know, completely unintended negative experiences that we were not expecting. And so I think being aware of having open conversations where people can share, I know that you were trying to be nice here, but this is how I interpreted it. And, you know, just sort of making people aware so that we can kind of move forward on that journey together. I think that's something that mindset shift, interacting with people in the field, talking with them about their experiences, you know, in open and honest ways, which can, you know, be sometimes that can be challenging both for men and women, but that's just something that we've got to get past. So that would be sort of my suggestion around that.
Okay, cool. Can I offer kind of an opportunity to like level up that suggestion?
Yes.
Okay. So when you talked about this, like, it's like women, you know, having the courage to say like, you know what, I interpreted it this way. It's still putting the onus of change on the sure. women, right? It's like, there's so few women. It's like, now you have to communicate your needs to everybody else. And I think one thing that we both agree on is like, how do we shift this burden onto organizations, onto sure. the industry? And I think the work that we have been doing together has done a really great job of doing that, in that we, like NCCER, collected all of these responses and packaged it up in a way that is easy for people to consume. So you have the report, you speak at conferences about it, and then instead of the women having to, you know, be the voice, and because maybe there's backlash, maybe it's not a safe place, they've got to build up that courage. It's a lot to ask women to do that. But with this report, it's like becoming that collective voice. And then you have the influence to get it in front of the right people so that we can hear it. So I think that the work that NCCER is doing, it's actually taking on, it's shifting it away from women and onto the organization.
Yes. And so one of the things that we have talked about is, you know, in an oversimplified term, the construction industry, and in our efforts to attract women, we have often sort of thought, whether, you know, directly or indirectly, we need to fix the women so that then they can work in the construction industry. And what we're really focused on, you know, I appreciate your point, is that, you know, we need to look at the construction industry and what barriers do we have that keeps the construction industry from being more successful, you know, going forward in the future. And that was why we put that report together, is, as you said, there's no sort of magic technology or something. It's just an aha moment with realization. And that's why we wanted to go out and talk to these women and put this together. So, you know, we have a white paper. We will probably have a link to it in the podcast description. But if you go to NCCER's webpage and look for In Her Own Words, we have a white paper that, you know, talks about these issues. It makes recommendations for what companies can do. We also have, if you're a person that's really detailed and really focused on research, we have the larger research report there that, you know, goes more into detail in the findings and provides that information as well. And then obviously, if this is something that you're interested in, if you have more questions about it, I'm happy to talk with anybody that has questions or would like follow up, as Andrea, I know that you are as well. You know, this is one of these win-wins where we can not only fix the big macro level pictures, we can also help individuals improve their lives.
Yeah, I love it. So we always end every podcast with a 24-hour action. That's because, like, we've talked about a lot today. It can be really overwhelming. It's like, where do I start? Like, how do I even get going? So what's something that people can do within 24 hours to kind of just get the ball rolling in shifting those mindsets?
Sure. So, I mean, the easiest one for me to say is to go download our white paper and read it. Because I think as you read through that and, you know, we pull quotes from women, we share what their experiences are, that's going to click some ideas off in your mind about, oh, you know, there was a situation, you know, I think about, you know, within my own time when I was working and, you know, I was mentoring people, Was I mentoring them or was I sponsoring them? Was I providing them the opportunity to fail? You know, meaning, hey, get out and try something. It may not work, but I've got your back if something goes wrong. So really downloading that white paper, reading through it, seeing the experience that gets shared in there, I think is going to generate a lot of ideas within the reader.
I love it. And okay, and this is one for people who are like, you know, A+ student, want to go that extra mile, because I know this has happened and I've seen the magic that this has created in the conversations it has generated. So if you've downloaded it yourself, read it, and you are in a position of influence, I would say share it with your team, because I know some leaders that have done that and they said, you know what, read this. Let's talk about it for 10 minutes at our next team meeting. And the conversations that happened even organically after kind of an entire team was reading this report at the exact same time, was that's where you get that exponential growth, when everybody's having that mindset shift at the same time, learning something new, sharing it out loud. That's where you get kind of the ball rolling and really cool things can happen. So that's the A+ student. But if you're like, I'm just getting started, this is brand new, read the report because it's incredible. And Tim, can you remind us again how people get the report?
Sure. If you go to our website, which is ncccer.org, and then we've got a research page in there, and the title of the report, the white paper, is In Her Own Words. So if you just Google NCCER In Her Own Words, you should be able to pull that up. We've got a landing page where you can download the white paper. It's free. The research report is free, and that information is available there. You can also find me. I'm on LinkedIn. So if you search for Tim Taylor at NCCER, you should be able to find me that way.
Awesome. And we'll put links to your LinkedIn and the report in the show notes. Tim, thank you so much for coming back again on the Ambition Theory Women in Construction podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Hey, before you go, I wanted to take a minute to read a review of our podcast. This one is from Angelita in Canada. Andrea is a world-class trainer, coach, and speaker. Her work here on the podcast is evidence of that expertise. As an engineer, I've seen firsthand how difficult it can be for women to thrive in the construction industry. Andrea's advice is not only spot on, it's actionable. I can guarantee that those who take action on Andrea's guidance will find a near immediate impact to their careers and lives and will set themselves up for next level success in the long run. Thank you so much for that generous review. We really love hearing from our listeners, and I'm wondering if I can ask you a favor. Can you take a minute and leave us a 5-star review and a comment on Apple Podcasts? That really helps us to get the word out so that we can keep making episodes for you for free. Thank you for listening.